Okay, today we're on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph 113a. 113a, Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. I'll begin from the Mishnah. We're talking about the Malach of Kosher. Kosher is tying a knot on Shabbos. That's the topic. So the Mishnah says, Manitin, Kosherin Deli B'Piskia. One can tie a bucket with a Piskia. Piskia is a girdle. It means that if you have a bucket, let's say, going into a well. So if you're tying it with a girdle, you're not going to leave the girdle attached to the bucket. So there's no problem with doing that, because we said that the problem is a Kesher Shel Kayama. And Loi Rashi learns, if it's a permanent knot, then I violate the Shabbos on a Torah level, and if I intend to keep the knot there for a week or longer, I violate it. Even though I'm going to take it apart, I violate it on a Rabbanan level. And then, but if I'm not going to leave it there, you know, it's coming out. And again, some Rishonim want to say even 24 hours, it's a problem. But if I'm going to take it away, you know, so if I have, it's got my girdle there, so I'm not leaving it there. Let me see. I think I have a little bit. Let me see if I could do a picture for you. Oh, 1 second. Okay. Let me see. All right. Okay. Everybody see the picture? Okay. So here's, they didn't show such a great picture. Let me move this thing, if I can move this here. Okay. There we go. So here we have the bucket, and it looks like, I don't know. You see, here's the girdle. But the idea is the girdle is attached to the bucket. That's the basic idea. All right, let me go back to get everybody here. Let me get back to the thing. How do I get back to everybody? 1 second, 1 second, 1 second. 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. Oh, here I go. Okay. Okay, now, so back in the Mishnah. So with the sixth line, Kosher lo dli b'piskia avlo b'chevel. So you can tie the bucket with like this girdle, but you can't tie it with a rope. Because the rope, you know, it's like you tie it, you're going to leave it there. Rabbi Huda matir. Rabbi Huda permits you to tie it with the rope. So we don't know this yet. The Gemara is going to explain that when it talks about the rope, it's talking about a chevel shalgardi, a weaver's rope. So the rope's not staying there anyway. So that the rope per se is not a problem, but we're concerned that that I or other people may see rope A. I don't sense between how come I'm allowed to do rope A, I can't do rope B. So therefore, the Chachamim say you can't tie it with this rope, and Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you could. I'm not worried about them being machlif one with another. Klalamar Rabbi Yehuda, Kol Kesher She'eno Shel Kayama Ein Chayvin Alav. So the Tan Rabbi Yehuda says a klal, the principle, if it's a Kesher She'eno Kayama, it's not a permanent knot, so you're not chayiv for the Malacha on Shabbos. Now, the question is, what is Rabbi Yehuda referring to with this? And there's a lot of different pshatim. But one easy pshat is he's referring back to the earlier Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, where, remember, we had Rabbi Meir, who said that if you could take the knot apart with one hand, it's not a, let me see where this is. Let me just look again back at the Mishnah. So earlier, wait, the Shmona Shratzim, 1 second. Iluk Sharim, right. So it was the beginning. Iluk Sharim, 1 second. 1 second. Anyway, it's right. So in the first Mishnah in the Perek, Remeir Omer Kol Kesher Shu Yechola Hatiro Bachat Miyadav Ein Chayvin Alav. Rameir says, if I could take it apart with one hand, I'm not chayiv for that. So one shot is that the Tana Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that. And one hand doesn't do anything for me. The key is it a kesher shel kayama? Okay, now let's see further in the Gemara. All right, so around the eighth line, so the Gemara says, chevel demai. So we said there was a machloket in the Mishnah whether I could tie the bucket with a rope or not. According to the Chachamim, I cannot tie it with a rope. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, I could. So the Gemara says, chevel demai, what type of chevel? Ilema chevel da'alma, if we're talking about like a garden variety rope that everybody uses, Rabbi Yehuda matir, kesher shel kayamahu. How could the Tana Rabbi Yehuda permit you to tie the bucket with a rope? That would be a kesher shel kayama. We don't understand that. Ella, and then here the Bacha is bechevel da'gardi. We're talking about a weaver's rope. So he says, in other words, the weaver is going to use the rope to weave. So he's not going to leave the rope there too long. That's the idea. So he says, chevel degardi. So it means, so therefore the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says you could do it. Chevel degardi, so you're not going to leave the rope there. So it's not a kesher shel kayama. You're fine. So the Gemara says, but the Chachamim aser it. The Chachamim say you can't tie it. L'meimra, the Rabbanan Savri, Gazrin, and the Chevel Degardi, Atu Chevel Da'alma. So, L'chora, it sounds like the Chachamim goes there a chevel de gardi. In other words, there's nothing wrong per se with the chevel de gardi, the weaver's rope. But the concern is that other people will see you doing this and say, ah, I saw, you know, Reuven, and he's a firm person, a Talmid Chacham, he tied the bucket with this rope on Shabbos. Mistama, I could take a rope and tie my bucket also with a rope. But they're not chopping the difference between the ropes. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, lo gezrinan. El Chora, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I'm not, we don't make such a gzera, or that such a gzera was never made, and that's the way it's going. Okay, so again, just to summarize, I'm just repeating again. So in the Mishnah, we learned, Robert, you getting this? So we had in the Mishnah a machloket between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, whether you're allowed to tie a rope to a bucket on Shabbos. Let's say the rope, you know, from a well or something like that. So the Chachamim say you're not allowed to do it, and Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to. So we ended up saying that we're talking about a chevel de gardi, a weaver's rope, a regular rope. Everybody agrees that violates Shabbos on a Torah level because you're tying it and you're going to leave it there. We're talking about the weaver's rope where you're not going to leave it there. So Chachamim say, this Rabbi Yehuda says, so fine, showing it's good. And the Chachamim say, no, where it goes there, we're afraid that other people will see you using that rope, and they'll say that I could use a rope on Shabbos to tie a pail. Okay, so the Chachamim Roma Machmir with the Gzeirot, and Rabbi Yehuda's Matir, it's green light. So
where does the untying it with the one hand part come into this piece?
Yeah, it doesn't come in. In other words, the Mefarshim, let me finish this so I'll come back to you. Okay, Fern?
Okay.
Let's see back in the Gemara. So three lines above where it gets wide on Kuf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph. So Raminu, we pose a contradiction from to our Mishnah from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Chevel D'Lish Nifsak, if you have the rope of a bucket that broke, Lo Yehei Koshro Ela Onvo, a person should not tie it, he should make a bow. So in other words, there's a prohibition against, you know, tying the chevel on the bucket. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Korech, so again, so the Tanakhama says, I can't tie it, but I can make a bow. I can make a bow. He says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Korech Alav Punda Opiskia. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I can't even make a bow, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. I'm going to do sort of like a bandage. A Punda Opiskia, one second, let me see. How does he translate? Pundur Piskia. He says, one second. Yeah, a belt or a girdle. So here, I'll show you the way the picture book has it, and then we'll see where we go with this. Let me go back to picture book, and we should see if I can find it now. Oh, I am doing the wrong thing. I don't know what I'm doing with this thing. Now I'm going to end up drawing. One second. Let me just stop this again. All right, let me try this again. Why am I running? I'm sorry. I clicked the wrong thing. Okay, wait. One minute. Okay, so you hear, everybody see picture 1136 over here from the Perush Chai. So you see there's one strand here, and then he wraps this bandage around it tightly. I tell you the truth, that wasn't the way I understood the Gemara, the way they have the picture here. I thought, from the way Rashi describes it, I thought, let me stop the share. I thought you had, the two ends of the rope like this, and then you tie the thing around it, and then it's held. You know what I mean? So anyway, but either way, you're not making a knot. You're not making a knot. So let's go back on the Gemara. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Korech Alav Punda Opiskia, you're going to wrap around it the belt, the hollow belt. He says the hollow belt or the girdle. He says Uvad Shlo Yan Benu, but provided you don't make a bow. So Kashya Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says we have a contradiction now between the two Shita of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. In our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda wasn't concerned about making a gezerah, you know, with one rope and another rope. And here, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, we think, is concerned that if I permit you to make a bow, then people think I can make a knot. So he says, don't make a bow. So how come Rabbi Yehuda suddenly became a whole machmir when it comes to tying the knots? Then kashas rabbanan ad rabbanan. And then there's a stira within the sheet of the Chachamim, because in our Mishnah, the Mishnah says that you cannot tie it with a chevel. You cannot tie it with a chevel. And so we are koshesh for all these different gezerot. And then in the Braisa, the Chachamim are not concerned with such a gezerah that people might get confused between a bow and another knot. So in other words, the shita to reverse. The chamim who are so concerned about gzeirot in the Mishnah are not concerned about a gzeira here. They say you can make a bow. And Rabbi Yehuda, who's not concerned in the Mishnah, is concerned here. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, the Rabbanan ad Rabbanan lo kasha. The Gemara says there's no contradiction within the shita of the chachamim. Chevel b'chevel michlif. Come and hold that a person might get confused one rope and another rope, rope A, rope B. Yeah, that's something people could easily get confused about. I see you using rope A, I think I could use rope B. So then they make a gzeira. Aniva b'kshira lo machalfa. But they feel like a bow and a knot, that's like apples and oranges. People aren't going to get confused. I see you making a bow, I know that's different than making a knot. So that we've resolved. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda lo kasha, and then with respect to the stira within the town of Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says, fine, you know, go ahead and tie the chevel to gardi, but in the Brisa he says, no, you shouldn't even make a bow. You have to make like that bandage. He says, hatam lo mishum de b'chalfa aniva b'kshira. We misunderstood. His reason in the Mishnah, in the Brisa rather, is not because he's concerned that you'll, you know, mistake a bow for a kesher. Ella aniva gufa kshirahi. He holds that making a bow is a kesher. He holds that a bow is a kesher. So that's why he says that you can't do it. All right, let me pause for a second and take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, what do you got, Fern? Let me hear from you.
No, where does that?
Yes, yeah. So yeah, the answer is it does not come up here. And that's why the Mefarshim are troubled. What is that line in the Mishnah doing? So like we have this line that's just hanging there for Rabbi Yehuda. So one hesber is it relates to the first Mishnah in the Perek. That's one hesber that you could have. Another hesber is that it relates to the previous Mishnah. Remember in the previous Mishnah. One second. Let me take a look.
What
daf was
the previous Mishnah on?
Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, 111b. So in the second Mishnah on that page, so it mentioned that there are ksharim that you're not chayiv on a deraisa level, and then it slips over to the things that you have a green light to make a kesher. So Rabbi Yehuda is saying that there's a middle category, which we had discussed previously in the Gemara,
then
kol kesher shenu kiyama in chayavin alav. If it's not shel kiyama, in other words, the way Rashi would learn, if it's not lasting a whole week, so you're not chayiv on a deraisa level, we prohibit it on a drabanan level.
So the one hand was one of those tests to show that it doesn't last.
No, you're mixing kasha with one. There's two.
That's
different, two different pshatim. Let me hold off that thing, Rabbi. It's got nothing to do with our sugya. Let me wait till we get to the next mission. We'll come back to it, okay? Because it's really a totally different topic. Okay.
Sorry.
All right. Okay, it's okay. Let's go back in the Gemara. All right, now. Okay, we're on the fourth wide line on Kuf Yud Gimel Mad Aleph. Okay, everybody with me? 113a, the fourth very wide line. So Amar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rabbi Chiya Barashi, Amar Rav. So we have a statement from Rav. He says, "Mevi Adam Chevel Mitoch Beito B'Kosher B'Para Uve'Evos." A person on Shabbat can bring a rope from his house and tie one end to the cow, the other end to the trough, like the feeding trough. He says, "Now the idea here is, let's look at Rashi on this around the 20th narrow line in Rashi B'Kosher B'Para." We're not afraid that when he comes to take the rope apart, he'll untie one end of the rope and leave the other end of the rope tied. He says, "O Yatir, Shabeivus, v'yavatel tishapara, v'imsa chashal kayama." In other words, on Shabbos he could take the rope. He'll tie one end of the rope to the cow, one of the rope to the feeding trough. I'm not concerned that when he doesn't intend to keep it long, I'm not concerned that he'll just let one end loose and leave the other end tied. In other words, I'm sure that when it comes time to untie it, he'll untie both ends. Okay, just 1 minute. Now, he says, so that's Rav's halacha. So Eitvei, so in this we ask a kasha, Eitvei Rabbi Acha Aricha, do Rabbi Acha Bar Papa, the Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Acha poses the following questions to Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba was the Baal Memra. Rabbi Abba said in the name of Rabbi Chibarash, the name of Rav. So he asked Rabbi Abba, now this is from the following Brisa. The Brisa says, Chevel Shebevus, Kroshro Shebepara. If I have a rope that's already been tied to the trough, then on Shabbos I could tie it to the cow. He says, V'Shebepara Kosho Beivus. And if it, the rope had already been tied to the cow, then I could tie the other end to the trough. He says, "Uvachli v'chebel mitok beito yishur b'paru uveivus." Provided I, in other words, if I have a pre-existing rope that's tied to one end, I have cow and I've got the feeding trough. So the Braisa is saying, if one end is already tied either to the cow or to the feeding trough, I could tie the other end. Because I'm that then Mamela, when I let go, I'll let go of the one that I just tied. That's what we're saying. But the Braisa says, certainly, I shouldn't bring a rope from my house and tie it to the cow and to the feeding trough. So Rav said I could bring a rope from the house, tie it to the cow and to the feeding trough. And the Braisa says I cannot do that. Okay, that's the stira. The stira is a contradiction. So the Gemara says, Hatam chebel da alma. So the Gemara says, the case in the Braisa is talking about a garden variety rope. A garden variety rope, so then I have to be concerned if he ties it, to one end to the trough and one end to the cow, he'll leave one end tied and then we'll be in sort of gehaktat service, so to speak. He says, Hach chebel da gardi. But in Rav's statement, we were talking about Chebel de Gardi. Chebel de Gardi is the weaver's rope. So let me be sure I have this right. With Hatam and Hach, I do, I think. One second. Right. Here we're doing with the weaver's rope. So the weaver's rope is not going to be left tied permanently to the cow, and it's feeding receptacle. So therefore, Rabbi Abba permits tying both ends. So again, so I have the weaver's rope. The weaver's rope is not going to be permanently that way. So I'm not concerned about anybody leaving the rope where it is, tying both ends, because it's not hanging out that way. But with the other rope, that was a permanent rope. So the way the Bach explains it, they quoted it here in the R scroll, if he's got one end tied permanently, but the other end, he mistam is going to like just do, non-permanently. So then I'm permitted to do that. And that's the way it goes with that. All right. Well, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did so far? I know your question, Fern. We'll get to it. But other than Fern's question, which was it was about the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, and the Mishnah. But any other questions? Okay. Let me move on now. All right. Now the next piece is really not related to this per se. It's just brought in because we were discussing Chevel de Gardi, which was the weaver's rope. So now the Gemara gets into a discussion of muksa with the kalim that a weaver uses, that a kalim and their muksa status on Shabbos. Now, okay, these things are a little difficult, but we'll try to make it as simple as possible. So we discussed muksa briefly in our Masechta. We had a couple of dapim about muksa a while ago, but the main sugya is coming up in a parak later on. But one type of muksa is kli shemalachto le'isur. If it's a kli that's used, a utensil that I use for a forbidden purpose, during the week, and something that would be forbidden on Shabbos, I use it for malacha, like a hammer, right? A hammer I use to build, so that's kli shemalachto le'isur. So normally we say kli shemalachto le'isur is the most lenient type of muksa. It's the most lenient type of muksa because kli shemalachto le'isur, I'm allowed to move for tzorach gufo makomo. If I need the item itself, in other words, let's say I want to use a hammer to crack open a nut, so I could pick up the hammer and crack open the nut, even though it's only muksa. Or if I need the makom, the hammer is on my chair, I want to sit on the chair, so I could pick up the hammer and move it from the chair so I could sit in the chair. That's the way it normally goes. Now, we'll see in our sugya that... All right, let me begin the sugya, and then we'll get into this, okay? So, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishmuel, Kli Kevoi, Mutar L'Tatzlan B'Shabbat. Kli Kevoi are weaver's implements one can move around on Shabbat. So, he says it's talking about like these two rods, which they call the lays rods. Let me see if he's got here. One second. Let's go back to our picture book. Let's see if I do this here. All right. Oh. Oh, here they don't have a picture of it. Here they are. Okay. Do you see the rod up here? Everybody with me? You see where my arrow is pointing? Can you all see my arrow? nod your head or put. One second. If you see my arrow, let me move this out. Okay. If you see my arrow, pick up your thumb and point upwards. You know. Okay. Good work. Okay. So this is one rod here, and this is the other rod here. Okay. Those are the kalim we're talking about. Everybody good? Okay. So let's take a look now. Let me see here. Okay. All right. So now let's see back in the Gemara. So Amar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel Kli Kevoy Mutar Tatzlam B'Shabbat. He says on Shabbos you can move those rods. He says Afilu Kovod HaElyon VeKovod HaTachton. Now the Kovod HaElyon and Kovod HaTachton, you see this big pole here on top, and this big pole here on the bottom. That's the Kovod HaElyon and the Kovod HaTachton, the upper beam and the lower beam. Okay, it's like the fabric gets wrapped around those beams. So even the Kovod HaElyon and the Kovod HaTachton, one can move. Avolod HaAmudim, not the Amudim, are these posts. Here are the big posts which go into the ground. Those things, that I cannot do on Shabbat. All right, now, the issue is, one second. All right. So he explains over here that in other words, even though we hold that normally it can be moved the Tsarakufo Makomo, so he says that Rabbi Yehuda, who we're quoting from here, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't agree with Tsarakufo Makomo. He rejects that. So the Gemara is saying that we don't view this as kalim that are Kli Shemalachto the Isur. That's what we're saying. But it's a question, how does that get around it? In other words, if it's primarily used for Isur, which it is, how does the fact that it has other usages not make it Kli Shemalachto the Isur? So then they quote a different shot, which says that there's another category of muksa, and that's muksa machmar chisaron kis. So muksa machmar chisaron kis is muksa machmar chisaron kis. Is let's say I have something very valuable. Let's say I have a knife that I use for shechita, and I'm very makpid with this knife. It doesn't have pegimot because that's the kiss of death with a shechita knife. It can't have any imperfections in it. So let's say I or somebody else wants to use the knife to cut an apple on Shabbos. So that's considered muksa because in my mind, I'm a katsa this. In other words, I'm thinking just shechita. I don't want to use for anything else. And so now on Shabbos, so some of Farshim want to say, and they quote here in the art school from the Ritva and Rabbi Akiva Eger, that these implements, these kalim, are considered then those klish machtel isur. Rabbi Yehuda holds their muksa machmat chisaron kis, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda tells us that the weaver doesn't object to them being used for other purposes. So it comes out like an exception. In other words, if I have a shechita knife, but I don't object to it being used for other purposes, so it's not muksa machmat chisaron kis. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. So Amar li Rav l'Rav Nachman. Maishna Amudim Delo, why is it that the Amudim, which were those two big posts that we saw before, I can't move them? Ilema de Ka'avi Gumot, if you say, because when I move the posts, and here are the posts, so I'll make a guma, I'll make a hole in the ground when I move the posts, he says, Guma Mele Ka'avi. I'm not making the hole. The hole happens, you know, by itself. I pull it out. Ditnan, we learned in the Mishnah, and this Mishnah we've had before, it's the Mishnah Masechet Kilayim, Hatomin Lefet Utsnonot Tachara Gefen. If a person buries, I think it's turnip or radishes, right? And he says turnip or radishes. In other words, he has a turnip or he has a radish which has already been pulled out of the ground. And now he takes the turnip or the radish and he, let's take a look back in the Mishnah here. Tomin Lefet Utsnonot Tachara Gefen. I buried under the vine. In mixat olive magulin eno choshesh, if some of the leaves are revealed, I don't have to be worried. Now, the leaves being revealed are not, it's just for the halakha by Shabbos. He says, lo mishum kilayim, meaning, if I bury the turnip and the radishes in the vineyard, I don't have to worry about kilayim. In other words, they've already grown, I pulled them out, and they haven't taken root yet. I don't have to worry about kilayim, which is planting two different things in the same place. v'lo mishum shvi'it. I don't have to worry about now they'll have a din if it's a shmita year that I can't pull them out already because they already were harvested. He says v'lo mishum ma'aser. I don't have to be concerned that now I have a chiv in ma'aser on the thing that I stuck in the ground. But and for that, even if the leaves are buried, it's nishka fairlock. But nitalim b'shabbat. But the leaves have to be revealed, and then I can pull them out on Shabbat. So that's the key that I want. So I have the turnip and the radish. The leaves are revealed. So I could grab the turnip and the radish by the leaves and pull it out on Shabbat. He says, so we see that it's not considered choresh, making a guma, if I pull an object out and then there's a hole there because the hole is already automatically formed. I'm not digging the hole. The hole is there. So what's the problem with moving these amudim again? And the amudim you see in the picture, these are these posts. I want to pull these posts out on Shabbos.
So wait a minute. Robert,
please wait just 2 minutes. Okay, I'll be with you. Just give me 2 minutes.
I'm watching my watch.
Okay. Wait till I get to the Mishnah and then I'll get to you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, now, he says, V'nital b'Shabbat. So the Gemara says, B'sadeh lo ati l'shuyi gumot. So the Gemara says, in the field, there's no concern that I'll come to even out the holes in the ground. Like, I don't care, hole in the ground. This is the thing. You know, the field is he says, Hacha b'bayit ati l'shuyi gumot. Here, we're talking about, a loom, which is in the house. And, you know, I pull it out. I say, it's a dirt floor. Oh, the guests are coming in a few hours. let me even out the floor. And that would be bona. In the house, it's bona. Outside the house, it's choresh. Okay, that's the problem with that. Okay, now, three more lines, and then we'll open up the floor to all questions, okay? So, b'amine Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yehuda bar Levi. Rabbi Yochanan posed the following questions, Rabbi Yehuda bar Levi. Kli kevoi. Now, what about, like, the weaver's implements, kmo, kagon, kovod elyon, v'kovod tachton, mala tatlan b'shabbat? He says, am I allowed, again, the kovod elyon is this roller up here, and then this is the kovod tachton. Am I allowed to move them on Shabbat? In other words, what's their muksa status in general? So he says, Amarlay, aim at Tathlin. He says, no, you're not allowed to move them on Shabbat in the absence of anything else. Matam, Lafisha Eni Talin. He says, because they're so heavy, they're Klishim Lachtal Isur and they're muksa on Shabbos. Okay, now, so. All right, so the basic idea we were saying here, let me just summarize. So this is a totally different topic. We moved away from kosher and matir, and now we're discussing muksa. And the only connection was because of the weaver's rope. That was the whole connection. We got into kalim from the weaver. So so we discussed these different implements that the weaver uses on Shabbat. So, lechora, it shouldn't be a question about being able to use those instruments because it's kli shemlachto l'isur, and kli shemlachto l'isur, I have a heter to move it if it's the sarkufo makomo. So then we had the whole hesber again. Rabbi Yehuda was the where was Rabbi Yehuda here? One second. Why did he bring in Rabbi Yehuda? So he says kli shemlachto
because he doesn't believe in.
You know, it was the first thing, the sixth wide line. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mar Shmuel, Kli Kibbo Mer Tatzlan B'Shabbat. Right. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says, oh, who put this up? Who put this up? Did one of you put this up? Somebody put it up. Livia, did you do it? No? Fern? Robert?
Not me.
I didn't do it either.
I don't have it here.
All right. Oh, I'm seeing something.
I put it up. I just wanted to show you.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Aaron. You got to let me know what's going on with these things. Okay. All right. So we had the statement from Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says I'm allowed to move these things on Shabbos, but if it's klish lachtal isur, everybody would agree I can move klish lachtal isur if it's sorakufa makomo. So the chiddush was either that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold from the heter kli shemalachto l'isur, you know, for sorkufa makomo, and the Gemara is saying that it has other usages and therefore it's not muksa. But it's hard to understand that hesber because why does that change it? But or the elstep shot is that Rabbi Yehuda is saying it's not considered muksa machmar chisaron kiss. That's what the Tana is teaching me, that it's not considered muksa machmar chisaron kiss. And so therefore, I could move them on Shabbos. But then, at the end of the sugya, the Gemara, and then the Gemara says, so I can move them, I need them for a purpose, I can move them on Shabbos. And the only thing I can't move are the posts, because the heavy posts, when I pull them out, there's a hole, and there's a concern that I'll come to even the hole on Shabbos. Then, the last few lines of the Gemara, quote, the Rabbi Yehuda Bar Levoi, he says that, that the Kovod Elyon and Kovod Tachton, the way I interpreted it is that they do have a status of muksa, but in other words, they do have a status of muksa, it's klishim lachta l'isur, but there are ways to get out of klishim lachta l'isur. Okay, now let me get you first. I'll come to you, Fern, because your question really doesn't relate so much to the sugya. Let me get Robert, and then I'll get
okay,
you.
So I have a question on the diagram of the loom.
Yeah, okay.
You can't lift it by the beams. By the post, but you can lift it by the beams. Aren't you going to, by definition, when you lift it by the beams, lift the post out of the ground?
Okay, so here's
one, one contiguous dot.
No. Okay. Are you looking at the arrow here? Look at the picture. You see the arrow where I'm
looking? Yeah.
Those poles, I just pull them out. I pull them out.
I thought you said you lift them.
No, then these posts, you see the posts here?
Yeah.
Those posts, I think that they come out. In other words, like everything is disassembled, but these posts could be pulled out of the ground. I want to use the post.
I thought what they were talking about was physically moving the thing.
No. I want the post. I'm going to take the post. You know, there's some more pictures also. Let me see if I can find another. Let me take a look for a second. There was another book. Not advanced search. I did the wrong thing. One second. Let me go back. Okay, there's this fellow. This is Rabbi. He's Dayan Yisrael Gukovitsky, and they quote him here in the Art Scroll. And he's the one. He wrote the book on weaving Maasei Oreg. And he came to YU once. And all right, skip it with this thing. Anyway, it's just too difficult. Anyway, so he came to YU once. He gave a lecture, and I bought his book. So in the book, he has another picture and things like that. Okay, but I think you're taken care of, Robert. Okay,
Thank you.
Any other questions on the sugya itself?
Yes.
Is this on your question about Rabbi?
Yes.
Oh, Robert, okay, hold off. 1 minute, dearest. Anyway, any other questions on the sugya itself? Okay, now we're ready. Okay, no, you're not on the sugya. You're out of the sugya.
I have another question.
Oh, let me hear. What do you got? Okay, what do you got?
Okay, if you are not like Rabbi Yehuda and you believe that you can move something on Shabbos for Tzorach Gufo or Tzorach Makomo,
right?
Then are you worried about filling the gumo?
That would be a problem for everyone. That's a problem for everyone.
That's
a problem for everyone. And again, when we say Tzorach Gufo Makomo, it's only a heter for one area of muksa, and that's klishim lachto l'isur. Other areas, you don't have the heter with Tzorach Gufo Makomo. Okay, now I'll come back to your thing with the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, so the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, we have the statement in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda says that if it's a kesher shel kayama, you're not chayev. A kesher shel kayama, you're not chayev. The implication would be, but you are prohibited on a derabanan level. If he says eino chayv, he doesn't say you're allowed to do. Okay, in other words, eino chayv. So the question is, what is that statement doing here? So the mefarshim weigh in on what the statement is doing here. So I gave you two pshatim. Pshat one was that in the first mishnah we mentioned that Reb Meir said that any knot that you could take apart with one hand, you're allowed to do that on Shabbat. And to which Rabbi Yehuda responds, no, I don't agree with one hand taking it apart. I hold the litmus test is whether it's kesher shel kayam or not. Pshat number two. 1 minute. Wait. Pshat number two, he relates to the second Mishnah. The second Mishnah said that not every knot are you chayiv skila for. And then the Mishnah segued immediately, like with the blouse and things like that, that you have a green light to do. To which Rabbi Yehuda says, there's another category of knots that is not kishal kayama, it's not a permanent knot, but it's still prohibited on a drabana level. And that's what he's saying. Okay, now, what do you got? Let me hear from you, Fern. What do you got for me?
So for Rav Meir, is being able to pull it out with one hand definitional that it's kesher shelo kayama.
Clearly, clearly.
Right. So it's a definitional thing.
Right, right.
Rav Yehuda doesn't, so it's a machloka.
All right, that's it. All right, I'm moving on. Everybody good? Okay. All right, nice to have happy campers. Okay, let's take a look further. Now, you know
what? The only camp we can go to.
Well, all right. Yeah, well, all right. That's I don't know if that's a compliment, but all right. Now, okay, now let me mention some other things about kosher. So let me talk about twistums. Let me talk about twistums on Shabbos. Let me see. I think he's got one here. Where was this? I saw this. Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, you know what twistums are. Like you have a plastic bag, you go to the food store, and then there's a twistum around it, right?
It's now, called the bendel.
Well, whatever. Okay, bendel, whatever. Okay, bindle. Okay, anyway, but the twistum. So if I leave that twistum on, now typically everybody's different, but if I have a bag and I'm tend to leave the twistum on for more than 24 hours, and now on Shabbos I want to untie the twistum, so I could potentially run into halakhic problems. So the question, the $64,000 question, the way, you don't want to hear this, okay. Well, the way Rabbi Ribiet has it is, it's a question whether when you twist it and you twine it together, is that called a kesher? Is that called a knot? So if I say that's called a knot, now I run into a problem. So there's an easy way out of it, and that's just to take a plastic clip, which is what I do. I like anything I want to use on Shabbat, so I take the twistum off and I put a plastic clip on it, and then there's no problem with it. So I'll read you from the Rabbi Ribiet book. He says some posts can rule that sealing a bag with a wire twist tie is an act of kosher, because the twining action, twisting the wires together, is comparable to twining cords. According to this view, one may not use these twist ties unless they will be undone within 24 hours. Similarly, a bag that had been sealed with wire twice for longer than 24 hours, for example, a sealed bag of frozen cookies, may not be opened on Shabbat by unwinding the wire due to the corresponding malach of matir. The bag would have to be torn open. Okay, that's the one, that's odd. He says, and then other leading poskim distinguish between use of twist ties and twining cords, because wire twisters are designed to be easily twisted and easily undone. The twining is merely the mode of use. And he wants to say, he says it's like derech tashmisho, the way it's used. And so derech tashmisho, so if it's made to be done this way, so it's not. I assume he means like, let's say, the door of a house. Like every time you open and close a door, we don't say it's bone of a soter, because that's the way the door is made to be used. But anyway, the tzara yoter tov is to avoid the use of twistums on Shabbos. Okay, now, so that we did with the kosher. Now, with the double tie knots, I'll read from, this is from the Rabbi Simcha Bunim Cohn book, a double knot. He says, a double knot that is not drawn tight is considered a non-professional knot and may be tied for less than 24 hours. And then he's, for example, is permitted to tie the belt of a coat in a loose double knot, since one will obviously undo the knot within 24 hours in order to remove the coat. Now, I want to check again. I had heard, I thought, the name of Rav Schechter, but I have to double check this. I'm not 100% sure. Is that he said that, let's say you have a double knot on shoelaces. I heard that, like with children, that the knots keep coming out, that he felt that it was okay. But I need to look into it and let you know what's doing with that. Okay. So, all right. I'm going to move on. Okay. Now. All right.
Can you get us back the bendel? Can you find us a better heter for the bendel?
No, I can't. I gave you the best heter I got. What's wrong with the heter that I gave you? Anyway, but
you mean the clip.
Yeah. What, in other words, some hold that you're allowed to use it. Some hold you're not allowed to use it. So okay. If you're not allowed to use it, then you have the clip. But the I think I don't know. Everybody makes their own decision. It's so easy to be machmir with this with a clip. I don't even have to get into a safek of chashash from in Malach on Shabbos. Okay. Manitin. So the Mishnah says, Mekaplin and Akalim, Apilo Arba Abba Kamisha Pamim. Now, this is talking about folding clothes on Shabbos. And I think you're familiar, probably you've heard or whatever. In other words, like when you fold clothes on the same crease line, so it's considered to be a tikkun kli. In other words, that the garment is improved and it's like it's sort of like flattened and nicer when it's done that way. So you're not allowed to fold garments on the same folds that they were before. So here, so he says, "Mekaplem kelim for the arba v'chamish shupamim." So here, the Tana says that you could fold garments even four or five times. It means I'm going to keep wearing it. I could keep folding it and then putting it on, taking it off. But we'll see. There's going to be four requirements to give the green light. Umatzina mito milalei Shabbat l'Shabbat, and one can, you know, make the bed from Friday night to Shabbos. So he means like this. So there's a question what the bed means. Bed might mean the bed you sleep in, or bed might mean the couch that you eat the meal in. In other words, they would eat on mitot. You know, so I have to have whatever. The couch has to look nice for people. So the idea is that if I'm going to use the bed, you know, so then I can like make the bed. But if I'm not going to use the bed, then not. In other words, it becomes an issue of hachana for Motzei Shabbat. He says, Abalo mi Shabbat l'motzei Shabbat. In other words, on Shabbat, I can't make the bed if the only use I'm going to have is on Motzei Shabbat. He says, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, mikaplan akelim. Rishon says that I could fold clothes, matzina mitot, and I can make the bed, miyoma kippurim l'shabbat. Now, this is assuming that Yom Kippur can come on a Friday. We know that according to our luach, right, you got that, Fern. So according to our luach, the rule is lo ge'u yom. Ge'u is gimel aleph vav, that Yom Kippur can never come out on a Tuesday, a Sunday, or a Friday. So for this sugya, you need Sunday and Fridays out the door, and it can't come out on a Tuesday, because if Yom Kippur would be on a Tuesday, then Hoshana Rabbah would come out on a Shabbat, and we don't want that to take place. So so he's saying that you could, he says you could fold garments and prepare the bed. If Yom Kippur's on a Friday, I could prepare on Yom Kippur for Shabbos. He takes the Shabbos on a higher level of Kedusha, and I'm allowed to prepare from Yom Kippur to Shabbat. That's what he assumes. Conversely, if Yom Kippur is on a Saturday night, Sunday, the Chelvei Shabbat, the portions of the Korbanot, if they were not yet placed on the Mizbeach, could be placed on the Mizbeach on Yom Kippur, the Shabbos Korbanot. But I can't take the Yom Kippur Korbanot and put it on the Mizbeach on Shabbat. In other words, the way he's going is Shabbos is holier, so I can, you know, do things for Shabbos, but I can't do things for Yom Kippur, you know, for Yom Kippur on Shabbos. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Lo Shel Shabbat Kreivim B'Yom Kippurim, Lo Shel Kippurim Kreivim Shabbat. Rabbi Kiva holds they're both the same Kiddushin. I can't do from one to the other. All right, let me just get through the sugya a little bit, and then we'll take a pause. Okay, now, Amri Debei Reb Yanai, they said in the base medrash, Reb Yanai, Lo Shanal B'Dam Echad, that when we said that you could fold garments, it's only talking about one person is doing the folding. Aval B'Shnei B'Nei Adam Lo, but two people can't fold it. And Rashi says when two people fold it, like they'll grab the garment, they'll pull it tight, and then fold it, that's worse. He says, U'V'Adam Echad Nami Lo Amran, and even when we said that one person could fold the garments, Elo, B'chadashim, if it's a new garment, it means like a stiff new garment, he says, Abal B'yishanim lo. If it's an older garment, I can't do it because the improvement will be too significant. In other words, and the key is, again, this is a din d'rabbanan. In other words, a tikkun kli. I'm being metaking something. I'm preparing, I'm fixing something on Shabbos. He says, B'chadashim nami lo amran. And when we said that you can fold new clothes, Ela B'levanim, if they're white, then I can fold it. Aval b'tzvuim lo, if they're colored not, apparently the color of the improvement is too radical. He says, v'lo amran el she'en lo l'hachlif. And when we said that you, even if you meet all the other requirements, you have no other clothes to change into. Aval yesh lo l'hachlif lo. If I have other clothes to change into, I have no business folding. Let's leave it, and then have to leave it that way. All right, let me just do a few lines, and I'll come back. Tano shabbat rabban gamliel, lui mekaplim klei laban shalahen. The Tana taught in Braisa that in the house of Rabbi Gamliel, they wouldn't fold even the white clothes and certainly the colored clothes, because they had other clothes in which to change into. All right. So the idea is that on Shabbat, you know, we don't fold. Let me get the Shmirat Shabbat Kelchata out. One second. All right. So he says, I'm translating. He says you shouldn't fold a garment or a tablecloth or something similar unless you fill all the following conditions. That you need the garment that day, that it's a new garment that had not yet been laundered, you know, so I think that would, you know, throw most clothes, that the beged is a white garment, and he has no other beged that he can wear that day, and the only one person will be doing the folding, but we know where it comes from. Now, therefore, he says, a person should not fold his talis on across the crease lines. So let's say it's Shabbat, and I have my talit, so I and the talit has, like, crease lines in it. I shouldn't fold the talis along those crease lines. And then he says, a person shouldn't fold the tablecloth. He says, and he shouldn't fold his pants. But he could hang the pants on a hook, and if they happen to, you know, form along the crease lines, that's fine. Then he says you can fold any garment on not on the crease lines, and then after Shabbos you fold it in the other place. And then he says that you could fold garments that the kippah, the folding is not nikar. He says like things made out of rubber or nylon or plastic, or he says divrei sriga. I think things that are sriga is like I think like a woven, but I don't think
knit. Nisrog is to knit.
Nisrog
is to knit because
what?
Of
sweater.
Yes.
Wait, I don't understand. Forgive me.
Nisrog is to knit.
To what word?
It's knit.
To knit. Okay. Knitted. Okay. Knitted. Thank you. Oh, divrei sriga, and he says, he's all right. And he says, anyway, but you get the idea with this. So that's the way. That's the way people normally do it. They take their talis and they roll it up, and then after Shabbos, take it out and fold it up. Okay, that's the way that works. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did? What's up, for Olivia? What's up? I can't hear you. You got to unmute yourself.
Okay. I have two questions. Am I correct to understand that tikkun kli is not a melacha, it's a midirabanan? First question.
Correct.
And second question, when, in which year was the fixed calendar established?
Okay, so the first answer is yes, it's a din d'rabanan, and then the calendar was established by Hillel Hasheni, Hillel II, I think, in the 4th century.
Thank you. All right.
I think we're good. All right. Let's take a look now. All right. Now the Gemara shifts. Now the Gemara is shifting to. A general dinim about Shabbos. Amar Rav Huna, Yesh Lahachlif Yachlif. Now, a person, it's talking about clothes in general that one wears for Shabbos. If a person has different, obviously a person, the ideal is a person should wear much better clothes on Shabbos than he does during the week. And they should be those, ideally, just the clothes he wears just for Shabbos. If he could just have his Shabbos clothes, that's the best way to do it. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, Yesh lo lahachlif yachlif. He has clothes to change into, he should do. V'im ein lo lahachlif yishal shel b'bagadav. If he has no clothes in which to change into. In other words, I don't know, he's traveling. Baruch, it's so nice to have you, Reb Baruch. Welcome. Okay, we're 5 lines from the bottom on Kuf Yud Gimel Mit Aleph. And who else is here with you? Who is on the side? Who else is here? I can't hear you. Oh, how nice. Okay. Baruch. Okay. So it's so nice to have Reb Baruch Abitan with us today this morning. Okay. So if we're talking about big day Shabbos, so Bizman Chazal, they're wearing like these cloaks, like long things. So during the week, like the workers would sort of like pin up the ends. In other words, because they're working in the fields, whatever, they don't want the ends to get all for schmutzed. So let's say he's a worker, he's got this cloak, he's got nothing to change into for Shabbat, so he should undo, let's say, where it's clipped up, and let it go all the way down to the ground. In this way, he makes a shinui and looks much nicer for Shabbat. It means like the wealthy people walk around that way. He's a worker, but the wealthy people walk around that way. So he says, he says, doesn't that look like arrogance? In other words, he's like this, you know, poor guy, and like the wealthy millionaires walk around this way. Isn't that like an act of arrogance that he's like sort of like wearing clothes like a wealthy millionaire. So he says, since every day in the week he doesn't do this, but it's just today on Shabbos he does it, so that does not look like arrogance. Okay, now the Gemara segues into, there's a famous pasuk in Yeshaya from which we learn many dinim derabanan with respect to Shabbat, and this pasuk is in the Haftorah for Yom Kippur. We have it on Yom Kippur morning. Actually, the it's a series of psukim, Im Tashibi Shabbat Raglecha, and the pasuk before this has the pasuk that's at the entranceway of the young Israel of Great Neck. It says, "Uvanu mimcha chorbot olam," you know, that which was destroyed will be rebuilt. So he says here, he says, "V'chi ba'to me'asot rachecha," you should honor it, me'asot rachecha, from not doing your normal ways. So he says, "V'chi ba'to shlohim amushcha shel Shabbat kamamushcha shel chol." The way you dress on Shabbat should be different than the way one dresses during the week. He says, "V'chihad Rabbi Yochanan kari lamanim mechabdutai," like Rabbi Yochanan called his clothes that which give me honor. In other words, we've seen that the idea of kavod is associated with clothes. Rav Willa, he gave a shiur once I listened to. This was I listened online, and he was saying how like a person on Shabbat should dress like they are going to a wedding. You know, so a lot of times like people, you know, dress far below, you know, like some people say, well, you know, in Israel they don't dress with a tie and jacket, but you know, when that same person goes to a wedding here, they'll dress with a tie and a jacket and a suit. So if you're in Israel and you don't dress up for a wedding that way, that's one thing, but here you're in America, you should dress up. And then people, it just bothers me. There's no difference, first of all, between Friday night or Shabbos afternoon and Shabbos morning. There's not a different, you know, halachot about how to dress. Like some people, like I don't know, they walk in with the most casual clothes on Shabbat, and it's not al pi halacha. It's not al pi halacha. And even if a person is by themselves, in other words, let's say I'm on an island by myself, surrounded, let's say, by goyim, no Jews around, I still have to dress up on Shabbat. It's one of the dinim of Shabbos that al b'chi batel me'asot rachecha. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, mimtso cheftzacha, the pasuk says you shouldn't pursue your normal pursuits. He says, what does he say here? He says, from seeking your wants. He says, chafetzecha surin chefse shemayim mutarin. So your desires are prohibited, but chefse shemayim are mutar. So if you look in Rashi, mimtso cheftzacha, boy, we're going to go very much over time today. Mimtso cheftzacha, ki huzim rebe erivin, Shabbat. But the Gemara learns I shouldn't like walk to the edge of my field on Shabbos to make a cheshbon. Oh, you know, this is what the field needs, you know, after Shabbos. I shouldn't even do that on Shabbat. And there are dinim, like I shouldn't let's say I shouldn't look even. Let's say I see like a part in the paint is like peeling. I shouldn't look at the painting that's like peeling on Shabbos and I'm making a cheshbon, oh, I have to get a painter here and things like that. Those things are prohibited on Shabbat. But chafetzei shemayim or mutarim, and Rashi brings down, I'm allowed to make a shidduch, you know, for my daughter on Shabbat, and I'm allowed to, and poskin staka, people can, you know, declare how much money they're going to give or you know, for staka on Shabbos, like they can have a fundraiser for staka on Shabbat. That's chafetzei shemayim. That's for a mitzvah. The Dabir Davar speaking, turn page, the top line on Kuf Yud Gimel Beis, Shlohi Dior Chashal Shabbat Kedibor Chashal Chol. The way that you speak on Shabbat should not be the same way that you speak during the week. So Rashi brings down Mechachumim Korva Cheshbonot, like business and Cheshbonot. And a lot of times people, again, they're, if you don't know the dinim of Shabbos, then you can hear a million, like Chavetz Chaim says, a million Musar Shmusin, you know, observe Shabbos, but you don't even know Aleph Beis, you don't know. You know, if let's say I have a shirt, I bought the shirt for $50, I got a wonderful deal on it. And I say to you, oh, you know, I bought this shirt for $50, you know, maybe you would like it, I got it in Macy's. In other words, if the implication is I want you to buy it, that's prohibited on Shabbat. If I'm just talking, you know, and I don't know, I have no cheshbon like that. And similarly, you know, if a person says, oh, where did you get this jacket? Where did you get this? Where did you get that? That's also prohibited to ask on Shabbat. That's prohibited to say on Shabbat. So sometimes people, they're Mechal Shabbos, sadly, but they just don't know the dinim. That's the first you sewed. Okay, now let's see back in the Gemara. Now, the Bach is on the words here. Daber, Dibur Asur Hirhu Mutar. So I'm not allowed to speak, but I'm allowed to think. So I could think Cheshbonot, but the post can bring down that if it's going to get me aggravated, I shouldn't even think about these things on Shabbos. In other words, if it's going to get me worked up, you know, I'm thinking about taxes. I shouldn't even be thinking about taxes on Shabbos, you know, and certainly not, you know, talking about it. He says, Bishleima kulu l'chai. So the Gemara says, all of them, that's fine. Ela shlo yehi luchachashal Shabbat ki luchachashal kol mahi. So Chazal teaches the way one walks on Shabbat is different than the way one walks during the week. So what is that? So the Gemara says, ki hadam rav huna marav, amri la amri baba amar rav huna, yamahalik b'shabbat v'gab amad amayim. A person was walking on Shabbat, and he encounters Amar Amayim. Amar Amayim is really an irrigation canal that measures one amma by one amma, but the picture book didn't take it that way. But he's got some stream he encounters. Imechol aniach et raglo rishona kodem shtekir shnia mutar. So if the Gemara thinks, if I could put one foot down on the opposite side before I pull up the other foot, in other words, I could stretch across, then I'm allowed to even jump across. Bimlav asur, otherwise not. Markiv l'rava, heichil avid. So what is he supposed to do if he can't do that? Leikif kamapish mihilucha. If he's going all the way around till it's too narrow or it finishes, so he's going to have much more walking on Shabbat. La'avar, if you say he's going to walk through the water, zimnin demetavsin mani maya, v'akizei schita. Sometimes the water, the clothes will get soaked and he'll come to do schita, squeezing out the clothes, which is prohibited on Shabbat. First wide line, El Baha came into the Efshar Shabir Dami. So the Gemara rejects it and says, no, if you come across a body of water and the only way to go over is by jumping, then you are allowed to do that. Ela Kidabami Ne Rebbe Mishma Rabbi Yossi. Malav So Psi Gasab Shabbat. Am I allowed to take long strides on Shabbos? He says, Amar Lei V'chi B'chol Mishal Hutra. You're allowed to even take it during the week. He says, Shani Omer Psi Gasa No Tel Adachat Ne Chamesh Miot Mim Orinav Shel Adam. That taking long strides takes away 1/500th of a person's vision. Umahad Lei B'Kiddush To Beis Shemshen. It gets restored with the Friday night Kiddush. So let me just explain. So the Gemara is basically saying, like, on Shabbat, a person shouldn't, like, walk quickly. In other words, during the week, you walk helter-skelter here, then the other thing. On Shabbat, a person should walk slowly, unless the person's going to a Dvar Mitzvah. Let's say I'm walking from my house, and I'm late for Mincha, so on Shabbat, so then I have a mitzvah to walk quickly. But if it's not for a mitzvah, I should be walking slowly, and I shouldn't be taking long strides on Shabbat.
Yeah. I thought you were supposed to walk.
One minute. Let's wait.
I'm watching my watch. 60 seconds.
No, well, let's not do it by 60 seconds. Let's wait till I say it. When I say you can ask questions, otherwise hold it. Get a pad out and write down all your questions. Okay, like you do in the courtroom, Robert. Okay, now, so the Gemara says that walking quickly takes away 1/500th of one's vision. So, you know, I heard this, I think, from Rabbi Tokea years ago, but it's implied in the Meiri. In other words, the idea is when you walk quickly, you don't take in your environment. In other words, you're walking so quickly, I'm not taking in what's around me. I'm doing here, there. Like, I have no cheshbon. I don't know, you know, what's about everything. In other words, I'm not making big cheshbon. I'm just running from place to place. It's like the Mesillas Yesharim says. He says a person in this world is like a swift horse. He's running from point A to point B, then point B to point C, but he doesn't know. He just knows he's got to get to point B, then to C. He doesn't know the bigger cheshbon. He doesn't know, like, the bigger calculation. So the Gemara says that you can restore it on Shabbat. On Kiddush, it means, like, on Shabbat, and this is what Rav Simon says this all the time, that on Shabbos, like, you can make a cheshbon nefesh. You have time to slow down, to think through things. Like, what am I doing? What do I want to accomplish in this life? You know, where am I going? What's the bigger game plan? And that's what Shabbos is all about. Not to run here, there. Like, you do that all the time during the week. Shabbos is different cheshbon. Okay, all right. Now, Robert, now it's time for you. Let's hear, Robert. What do you got for me? Wait, I can't hear you. You're muted.
I thought the rule was that you're supposed to rush into shul to daven and leave slowly.
Right, that's what I said. Let's say.
So, you said if you're late, but wouldn't it be just you want to get there with enthusiasm?
Right, if you're going for a mitzvah, then you have a mitzvah to run. In Akinami, that's true.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right, let's see further. All right. I believe that the Gemara says, and the way I recall, one of my Rebbeim, Rabrovsky, quoted this. Let's say he's going from mitzvah A to mitzvah B. If I was doing a mitzvah and I'm going to a mitzvah, so the first half I should walk slowly, and the second half go quickly. In other words, if I was doing a mitzvah in location A, and I want to do a mitzvah in location B, so the first half going to be I walk slowly, then midway, then I go forward. Okay, then I do quickly. Okay, let's see back on the Gemara. Now, we're the fourth wide line on Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Is a person allowed to eat like dust or dirt on Shabbat? And this is a question they thought it was therapeutic, and does this violate the din about taking medicine on Shabbat? So Amar Leib, are you allowed to even take that during the week? He says, Shani Omer, Apachol Asur Mneishu Malka. I don't think even during the week you're allowed to put dirt in your mouth. It's harmful for you. He says, Amar Rami, Kol Ochel Me'af Rashal Babel, Kilo Ochel Mibsar Abotav. Rami says, whoever eats from the dirt of Babel, Babylonium, he's like eating from the flesh of his forebears. And Rashi says it means the Jews went into Galus and Babel, so they're buried there. We'll see in a minute. Some say it's like you're eating like the vermin and things like that. In the Mabul, so everything got obliterated. So the Amar Rish Lakish Lamech Rashma Shinar. Why is that area called Shinar? Because all the people who died in the Mabul got dumped over there. It means in Babel. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Lamech Rashma Mitzula. Why is Babel called Mitzula? The Zeps. All the people died in the Mabul, like were drowned there. Some say it's like you're eating shkatz ramasim. He says, so the Gemara says, but wasn't everything like dissolved in the Mabul? Was like boiling water. So whatever was there got dissolved and things like that. So if I eat the dirt, why am I eating the shkatzim ramasim? So the Gemara says, Amri came to Malki Gazru be Rabbanan. So the Gemara says it means that the Chazal viewed the dirt as being harmful to take dirt, to ingest dirt. They thought it was a harmful thing that a person should not do even during the week. The way the article says it, that they attributed it to these other things just so people wouldn't come to put it in their mouths. But really, it's just harmful. In other words, in Achinami, you know, like from the Mabul, everything is dissolved. So, it's harmful. He says, "Who gave the achal gargishta, achal takle, bekatle takle, believe beumid." A person ate like clay or a clod of dirt, and he ate some cress, and the cress grew, and then he died from it. All right, now let me go further. Now the Gemara goes back to clothing on Shabbat, and it quotes from Megillat Rut, the scroll of Ruth. So he says, "V'rachatz v'sach v'samsim lotayach." So Naomi says to Ruth, and she's going to see Boaz, she says to her, you'll wash, you'll bathe yourself, v'sach, you'll anoint yourself, v'sam simotai, you'll put your clothes on. He says, I'm Reb Lazar, Eilu B'gedim Shal Shabbat. So, like, would I think that she's going to go there naked? Like, why does I, you know, put clothes on? Like, how is she walking around otherwise? So the Gemara says that it's referring to special clothes. It means put your Shabbos clothes on. In other words, that you're going to meet, you know, Boaz. It's an important meeting, and you'll put your Shabbos clothes on to meet him. Now, Tein l'chacham yech kamod, the pasuk in Mishlei says, you give to a wise person, and he'll get further wisdom from it. So, Amar Blazar zurut humuav yashul ramati. He says that it refers to Rut and Shmuel. In other words, they each received an Eitzah, and then from the Eitzah, they improved on the Eitzah. Dilu nami ka'amr la brachatz v'sach v'sam simlotayach alayach v'yiradat agoren. So the instructions that Naomi gave were to wash and anoint yourself, put the clothes on, and then go to the threshing floor where you're going to meet Boaz. But if you look in the Megillah, it says she went to the Goren, and then she did everything that her mother-in-law had directed her to do. So she only put on the special clothes when she got to the threshing floor. And Rashi brings out, if she would have put the clothes on, so people would have thought she's a Zona, that, you know, she's walking out at night, I guess, with these beautiful clothes, things like that. Let's see, Rashi. If you look at the Rashi, it's around the 20th narrow line from the top. There she anointed herself, and she put on the beautiful clothes. People shouldn't bump into her at night with these beautiful clothes and think that she's a Zona. Back in the Gemara, Shmuel, now what was with Shmuel? So if you remember in Sefer Shmuel, so Shmuel is a Levi, and his mother leaves him in the Mishkan Shiloh, you know, to serve Eli. Eli is the Kohen Gadol, and Shmuel is the Levi, and Chana's son. So he's serving Eli, and then he goes to sleep, and he hears a voice calling him, Shmuel, Shmuel. So he runs to Eli HaKohen. He says, I'm here. Well, you called me. He says, no, I didn't call. Go back to sleep. And then it happens three times. And then the third time, Eli realizes that Kadosh Baruch Hu was calling him. So he says, if you hear the voice again, you say, Daber Hashem, ki shemei avdecha. Speak Hashem, because your servant is listening. He says, Ve'ilu b'tidekti be'i, so when it finally came, Shmuel didn't say Daber Hashem. He said Daber Ki Shmei Avdecha. In other words, he left out the Shem Hashem. So Shmuel wasn't sure whether he was really having this first time he ever had like a vision from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't sure if he was really having this vision. So he didn't want to Chas Shalom say the Shem Hashem Levatala. Let's see Rashi. Shmuel, where we left off, Shaitashchina Koralo Mitocha Hecha, Vlo Yedemi Korelo, Tivatam, Vayavin Eli Kiashem Korelanar, Vayomerlo, Leshcha, Vayam Krav, Marta, the Bear Shem of Decha, Vuloratsalas Kershem, Shema Inzushchina. He didn't want to mention Shem Hashem. Maybe it's not the Shchina. All right, now back in the Gemara, Vatelch Vatavavat Lakait Basadeh. So this is earlier in Megillat Ruot. It says that she went and she came and she gathered in the field. Now, it says Vatelach means to go, and then Vatavo is to come, to go and to come. So it sounds like, let's say she's at point A. She goes, and then she comes back to point A. And then she gathers in the field. So the Gemara says, Amr Blazar, Shalchavad, Halchavad, Achamatsim Edamu, Huganim Lalechim, that she went many times back and forth till she found the right chevra that she felt were appropriate people to go with. In other words, she wants to collect the matnot aniyim, but she wants to be with the right chevra. So she went a number of times. But Yomer Boaz and Aaron and Sabal Kostrim Lamina Razot. So Boaz says to his Nara, his servant, who's Ani Sabal Kostrim, he's his foreman, he's in charge of the reapers, he says, who is this woman? Is that what Boaz normally go? Like he's inquiring who this woman, the other woman is. So Amr Blazar, Dvar Chachma Ra'aba. He saw, now Dvar Chachma. So the Bach says it means Dvar Halacha. In other words, he saw, it means who's this woman? He saw her acting in a way that was clear that she knows the Halacha. He says, Shnei Shibalim Liketa, Shosha Shibalim Eina Liketa. That for Leket, are the ears of grain that are dropped by the person who's harvesting. So if the person drops two, that's matnot aniyim. If they drop three, so it belongs to the owner. He saw that she's collecting and she's very careful to only collect two and not three. And in other words, only where there were two had fallen and not where three had fallen. So he says, who is this lady? She really knows the halachot. But Manita Tana, in a brisa we learn, Devar Tzniut Rabba, that he saw a different Hezber. He saw that she is very tsanua. He says, Omdot Mu'umad, this is talking about Shicha. Shicha is if I forget a whole bundle of grain. So, but Shicha could also be if it's attached to the stalk. So he says, Omdot Mu'umad. So if she saw Shicha, then she would collect it standing. No float, miyushav. If she saw shikha that was on the ground, she would sit down and collect it instead of supposed to bending over and, you know, revealing more of her legs or something like that. So she, well, just a minute. So she was very tsanua. All right, what's up? Friend, what do you got for me? Let me hear.
I didn't understand the zona part. I mean, I always thought that a zona wore cheap clothes. If she was wearing fine clothes,
it depends what class. Depends what class zona. All right, let's go. Okay, now let's go. Okay, let me go further. Now, now the Gemara says, right? If you, where did Fern go?
I'm here.
Right. And it was, you're a zoner. You want to attract the people. You don't want to dress like a slob. You want to dress, you know, you get high class clientele. Okay, let's take it back now. Okay, now the chotid bakinim. Okay. Let's go back with the muting. Okay, the chotid bakinim narotai, and so you cling with my narotai, my servants. The hidarkal shaboas l'dabek iman Hashem. So here the Gemara is picking up. Even though, like, they use the word tidbakin, like ledabek, it could refer to conjugal relations. He says, so Amr Blazar. Now, I think there's another pshat here. One minute. Give me one second. Yeah. Now, others say it should read ledaber. In other words, so one pshat is like ledabek, but others have the girsa ledaber. Where is it? So, he says, "V'chidar kosho boaz l'daber im hanashim." Does he speak with women? So he says, "Amr Blazer came to Chazah, but tishak or palachamutav rut davka ba." He saw or he learned in the beginning of the Megillah. It says that Rut like kissed the mother-in-law goodbye. Like in other words, Naomi says, "Go back to your nations." So Orpah says, "Okay, I'm gone." Toodles. He says, "But Rut davka ba." Rut clinged on to her, and again, it's like going through Geirus. we encourage the prospective convert, you know, to stay a goy, and then only if they insist on converting, then we take them as a convert. So he says, Amar Charlie Zabukeba. So he said, I see she was a true altruistic convert, and I'm allowed to, she's like, you know, in the shidduch scene, I'm allowed to marry her. So Boaz said to Rut, at the time of the meal, he said, "Go shalom, come over here." Amr Laza Remez Ramazla, he was merames to her, hinting to her with Ruach HaKodesh, Atid Malchut Beit David, let's say Mimech, that the Malchut Beit David, the Davidic monarchy, is going to descend from you. Dichtiv Be Halom, because the word Halom, the word Halom is a little unusual word. You don't see it all the time in Tanakh. It appears here, and he says, "Shenemar vayavo melech David vayeshel fnei Hashem." He quotes a pasuk in Shmuel Beit that David HaMelech came and he sat before Hashem. The fnei Hashem usually means like in the Mishkan. In other words, before Hashem is like before the Aaron. He says, but not that he's in the Kodesh Kodashim, but he's in the place where the Aaron is located. You know, it was in the Mishkan. He says, "Vayomer mi anochi Hashem Elokim u'mibeiti ki aviotani et halom." He says, "Who am I, Hashem, and who's my household that you brought me to this place, halom?" So it mentions, I mean, it's like, I'm so blessed that you made me the king. So we see the word halom used there. So halom, halom. So he's saying that he was hinting to her with Ruach HaKodesh that the Davidic monarchy would descend from her. So in that pasuk, one second. Yeah. So, you know, I don't know, do you remember with David HaMelech, he brings the Aaron to Yerushalayim. I don't remember if what he did with the rest of the Mishkan, whether he then assembled the rest of it there or not. But Lefnei Hashem usually means like you're in the place where the Aaron is. Okay, now it says, "V'taval piteich b'chometz," you'll dip your bread in vinegar. This is again Boaz speaking to Rut. "Amr Blazer mikan shachometz yafel sharav." We see that chometz vinegar is good for the hot weather. I guess it was very hot, and that Shurav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Remez Ramazlo Atid Ben Latzei Mimcha Shemasav Kashin Chometz, that he was meramis to her. A different shot that she's going to have a descendant who's like a bad cookie, like bad news. His actions are like vinegar. Vinegar is like, you know, considered to be not good. Wine is good. Vinegar is lousy. He says, Umanu Shmanasha. That's Chizkiah, had a son Manasha, and he was heavily into Avodah Zarah. Okay, now, Vateshev Mitzara Kotsrim. So Rut sat on the side of the Kotsrim of the reapers, Amr Blazar Mitzara Kotsrim of the Batocha Kotsrim, on the side and not amidst the Kotsrim. So it comes out Boaz is on one side of the Kotsrim, and Rut's on the other side of the Kotsrim in the middle. Remez Ramazla, that he was hinting to her, to Rut, Shatina Malchut Beidavid Shitchalek, that the Davidic kingdom would eventually split into two. We know that after Shlomo Melech, Shlomo has a son, Rechavam, and Rechavam is king of the of Yehuda and Binyamin, and then Yeravam ben Nevat rebelled and took the 10 northern Shvatim. So Rut is on one side of the Kotsrim, and Boaz is on the other side of the Kotsrim. That's Merameh, that the Malchus based David is going to be divided into two. By Yitzpah la'kali v'tochal. Now again, the Gemara only quotes the beginning of the Pasuk. You need the whole Pasuk. It says, v'tochal v'tispah v'totar. She ate, she was satiated, and she left over. So it's like, who knows where this comes up in one of the Zmirot for Shabbat, right? No? It's from Yishlo Achalnu, you know. Anyway, we Achalnu, Savanu, Vahotarnu, we ate, and we satiated, we left over. Anyway, so here, she eats, she's satiated, and she leaves over. So Amr Blazar, Vatochal, Bimei David. So it's talking about prosperity. But Tochal, she ate in the time of David Melech. In the time of David Melech, everything was prosperous. But Tisba b'mei Shlomo, she was satiated in the time of Shlomo Melech. Shlomo Melech, everything was also good. But Totar b'mei Chizkiah, the time of Chizkiah was also very good. V'ikad Amri, others say, but Tochal b'mei David u'b'mei Shlomo, that she Tochal refers to the time of David and Shlomo. But Tisba b'mei Chizkiah, but Totar b'mei Rebbe, that she left over the time of Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. The Amar Mar, because there's a statement in the Gemara, Ahur Yare de Rebbe, the stable, the person at the head of the stables of Rebbe, Hava Atir Mi Shavur Malka. He was wealthier than King Shavur Malka, who was the Persian king. So Rebbe had a lot of wealth. So that's and he's from Malchus based David. But Manitatan and Brisa we learned about Tochal Ba'olam Hazeh, that it's talking about eating not physical food, but the spiritual reward. But Tochal Ba'olam Hazeh. But Tispa Liman Mashiach, but Totar La Tidlavo. In other words, the spiritual wealth that they're going to have a spiritual prosperity in this world, you know, the next world, and the Mos Mashiach will be wealthy spiritually. Okay, and let me pause and then I'll do a little bit more Gemara and that'll be it. Any questions on anything we did so far? All right, let's go in for the kill. Okay, we're five lines from the bottom. B'tachat kivodo. Yekad Yekod Kikodesh. So this is talking about Sancherev. Sancherev was the king of Ashur, the king of Assyria, and he attacked in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. He put a matzor, a siege on Yerushalayim, and Chizkiyahu was in dire straits. And we mentioned this in on Leil Pesach in the in one of the Pizmonim at the end of the Seder. And Chizkiyahu prayed, and the Navi says that the Malach Hashem came and struck in Machane Ashur. He killed the people, the soldiers in Machane Ashur. You remember the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, according to one opinion, that Gila Aznam, that he revealed their ears. They were able to hear the Lechayot singing, and they couldn't take it, and they dropped dead. Anyway, so Kivodo Yekad Ki Kodesh. So underneath Kivodo, it'll burn like a fire. So Amr Yochanan, this relates to the fact that we mentioned Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmani, and we mentioned Reb Lazar, and then we are here in this sugya, and we mentioned Reb Yochanan on the first Amud, or it relates to the fact that Reb Yochanan on Amud Aleph mentioned Kavodo means the clothes, your clothes. So the Gemara says, Amud Reb Yochanan v'tachet Kavodo v'lo Kavodo mamash. He means tachet Kavodo, Reb Yochanan, in other words, Kavodo doesn't mean the body, it means the clothes. And it was kvodo, according to Rabbi Yochanan, means a person's clothes. So he says, Rabbi Yochanan tami, the Rabbi Yochanan kari lamani mechabdutai. Yochanan called his clothes that which gives me honor. So in the way Rabbi Yochanan says the pasuk, And where v'tachat kivodo means under his clothes is like got burnt, incinerated. In other words, so it's just ashes. So it means the body's got totally burnt up. That's the way that's going. Reb Lazar Omer, now Reb Lazar also agrees the body's got burnt up, but he understands the pasuk differently. Reb Lazar Omer, v'tachat kivodo, tachat kivodo mamash. Reb Lazar understands kivodo means the person himself, but v'tachat kivodo means instead of kvodo. In other words, tachat can mean underneath, tachat can be instead of. But tachat kvodo, and so instead of the body, you get the burning fire, you get the ashes. So that's the way he understands the pasuk. So at the end, they both agree that they got the bodies got burnt and the clothes were left, but the one understands tachat kvodo underneath the clothes, and the other says tachat kvodo instead of the body, they got the whole thing that was burnt. Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, tachat kvodo kisreifat b'nei Aharon. So he takes one element from each that he understands kvodo as the body, and tachat he understands though like the way Reb Lazar did, but tachat he understands like Reb Yochanan underneath kvodo. So he says so that he takes it like they were like b'nei Aharon. So Nadav and Avihu, they died, and we'll see in a minute. Mamahalan Strefat Neshama V'guf Kayam, remember like a fire came up their nostrils and burnt their neshamas. So the neshama, in other words, they lost their lives, but the guf, the body, was still there. Avkan Strefat Neshama V'guf Kayam. So to here, so the third opinion here is Tachat Kivodo, it means, in other words, it means Tachat Kvodo is the body, and it means Tachat Kvodo, underneath the body is got burned. So he's taking one element, Kvodo is the body, like Reb Lazar, but Tachat he's learning like Reb Yochanan, underneath it. Okay, Amar Reb Acha Bar Abba, Reb Yochanan, the top line of Kufi Dalet Amud Aleph, Minayin L'Shinui B'Gadim Min HaTorah. Where do we see that it's appropriate to change garments, you know, for a different task from the Torah? Where do we see this? Shenem Ar Ufashat B'Gadav. It says in the Torah, it talks about being motzi the deshen. So in the Mishkan in the Beis Hamikdash, so every morning you have the mitzvah of trumas deshen, taking the shovel full of ashes. But then after a number of weeks, there would be so many ashes on the mizbeach, they would clean up the whole mizbeach, and that's hotzada deshen. I'm taking the deshen out. So we're talking about hotzada deshen. So it says, "Ufashar begadav alavash begadim achirim," that the kohen will wear different garments when he's taking out all of these ashes. So he says, "So b'tana debei Rabbi Shmuel, imelcha Torah derech eretz." Bryce was taught the base bench Rabbi Shmuel. The Torah teaches us derech eretz proper manners. But gadim shabishmuel gderul rabo, the garments that one cooks a pot of food for his master, for his rebbe, ayim zobem kos l'rabo. He shouldn't pour a cup of wine for his Rebbe. So it means like this, that in other words, like when I'm, you know, busy in the kitchen, you know, everything's slopping around, so I should wear, and then when I'm serving, you know, pouring the wine at the table, I should be wearing different garments. So you have to know what garments are appropriate at each time. You know, I mentioned this before, that Rav David Lifshitz, he was one of the Rebbeim at Yeshiva Rinz Chachanan, and he was there for almost 50 years. And before that, he'd been the Rav in Suvalk, and he was the head of Ezra's Torah also for many years. So he had one of his Talmidim, I think the first name was David, Rabbi David Stopsky, who was the rabbi in Columbus, Ohio, who has since also passed away. Yeah, so I told you, he wrote a hesped for Rav Lifshitz when he passed away. Rav Lifshitz passed away in 1993, I think. So he wrote the hesped either then or maybe a year later, but I remember reading it. It was in the Jewish press. And he said that he was one of his Talmidim during World War II. The Rav David got out, and he was in the army. He was a chaplain in the U.S. Army. So he showed up before Rav David with his uniform. So Rav David said, "Upashata begadav lavash begadim acherim." You'll take off your garments and wear new garments. And now he's wearing new garments. Anyway, it's interesting, though. There's a medrash that says that Esav, like I think it's Rabban Gamliel, like Rabban Shimon Gamliel, says, "As much as I honored my father, I didn't come close to what Esav did." He says, Rabban Shimon Gamliel says, I had like different clothes when I was cooking and different clothes when I'm pouring things for him. Esav had beautiful clothes, even I think when he was doing like the menial work for Yitzchak. In other words, Esav excelled at Kibud Av V'Em. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did? What's up, Fern?
No, just thank you for staying long with us to complete the talk.
Okay,
we noticed and we appreciate it.
Okay, Bruchot Tiana. That's 10 years of yeshiva education just for those two words.
Bruchot Tiana. That's right. They don't say Tihiena anymore.
Yeah, Bruchot Tiana.
Can you believe it?
Yeah, okay.
We broke our heads learning it.
All right, let me...